Hi, I'm Sarah Jaggard from the Australian Drug Foundation. This podcast features Michael Carr-Gregg talking about how to communicate effectively with young people about alcohol. Michael works in private practice as a nationally registered child and adolescent psychologist, specialising in the area of parenting adolescents and adolescent mental health. He is a founding member of the National Centre Against Bullying, a director of the Cooperative Research Centre for Young People, Technology and Wellbeing, columnist for a number of publications, and a published author amongst many other things. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael, a lot of parents and guardians find it tricky to talk about alcohol with their children. Can you give us some tips for talking to teenagers?
Yes, probably the most important thing is when you're having this conversation, to keep as calm as possible. Young people basically operate off a part of their brain called the amygdala. And what we've discovered is that the more you yell, shout, scream at an amygdala, the more it yells and shouts and screams back. So really important to stay calm. I think we need to get their kind of spin on this. So ask them lots of questions about what they think and don't talk too much. Listen more to what they have to say. Generally speaking, it's a good idea to speak only a few sentences at a time anyway. But I also think it's an opportunity for you to set very clear boundaries around what you think, to transmit your values. Generally, when we're talking with young people, we try and only argue over things that matter. Those are things that relate to their health and well-being. No one's ever died of an untidy room yet. That seems to be a huge issue for a lot of parents. I think when the kids basically respond, we should try and give as much positive feedback. I always find that if you have a conversation in a car and you're talking, doing something together, you're going 100k, they can't get out, you've got a captive audience, it's a great place to have the conversation. I think when they do talk about this, they'll say some silly things because young people do, so let some things go by you. Don't respond to everything. Generally, I worked very, very successfully with both my children by getting to know their friends. I was a perennial taxi driver, so I drove them everywhere, picked them up from parties, and got to know who they are out with and, of course, where they're going. Very, very important. If young people do actually talk to you, then I think one of the really keys, particularly for your middle adolescents, is to praise their ability to explain things. If you want behaviour to occur, reward it. So if you want it to occur more often, then I think it's really good to basically say, hey, I really like the way you said that. The crucial issue is to make an effort to get to know their friends particularly their friends' parents. That keeps communication open. It can be a great support when you're facing difficult situations and you can have a kind of consensus.
Often people find listening a lot harder than talking. So if you've got any ideas on how to listen effectively?
Yeah. Well, this is the one thing that parents aren't very good at doing. When kids are talking to adults, they almost kind of expect not to be paid attention to. So if you want to be different, then give them your full attention. And that means making eye contact and focus on their content. They have an inbuilt bull dust detector, so they can tell if they're basically being snowed. I think if you ask lots of questions, that signals your interest, your engagement. And when you do listen to them, don't leap to conclusions. Don't make judgments before they've actually finished talking. And also try and not do something else when they're having this conversation with you, because it's quite important that you are seen to be listening with a full ear, not just a half an ear. If they're talking, don't interrupt. And I think it's reasonable for you to expect the same in return. So we set the boundaries around a conversation. One of the most powerful things young people can do is to feel that you have paid attention to what it is that they're saying. A critical way of communicating that is to feed back to them what they've said. This does two things. One, it basically allows them to clarify what it is that they've said, but it also communicates to them that you've really listened. This is an opportunity, I think, when we're really listening, to share our point of view. Always make sure that you've chosen the right time, not when they're busy, not when you're busy. And the most important thing, of course, is to nod, ask questions so that they know you're really listening. Don't finger wag. One of the things about young people is they've got an inherent sensitivity to control. So the more you basically issue ultimatums or lecture, the more it is likely that that will trigger defensiveness and shut down the very communication that you're trying to keep open, as well as encourage them to rebel.
So, Michael, what if parents decide not to allow their child to drink alcohol?
Well, personally, I think that's a good decision if they're under the age of 16. And I think we need to talk openly about alcohol right from the get-go when they're very young, so that they understand this isn't a taboo subject. I would encourage parents to make reference to the National Health and Medical Research Council guidelines and, of course, the Australian Drug Foundation advice that really says to delay the alcohol introduction for as long as possible. So I have conversations with my kids about the effects of alcohol, the dangers and the safety issues, particularly relating to brain damage. They've got 100 billion brain cells, and basically they need to look after them. I also talk about how alcohol can increase aggression, reduce inhibitions, and can really create a circumstance where young people say and do things which normally they'd never do. And that would just leave them to feel really quite regretful about their actions the next day. The crucial advice for parents is to set firm limits. And if you've got a partner, then I think it's really important that you support each other. Remember, united you stand, divided you cactus. So really important. Be open and honest about your values and your experiences. If you had a terrible experience when you were young with alcohol, as long as it's age appropriate, I think it's important to share that with your children. And I think you need to explain the rationale and the research in an age-appropriate way. There's some major protective factors that we know in the literature work really well, one of which is, strangely, eating dinner together as a family and talking about what each of you has been doing. The research shows that the more you do that, the less likely young people are to use alcohol and other drugs in a dangerous way. The other thing that I think it's important to try and schedule weekly blocks of times where the families do stuff together. Ritual and tradition seems to be a major protective factor as well. So if you can have a thought, what would you like your children to say to their grandchildren about what you used to do as a family? If you think about it that way, it's really important to create these little traditions. Also think you need to keep an eye out for what I call teachable moments. These are prompts from TV, advertising or newspapers to start a discussion. Maybe it's an item in the news. So always be on the lookout for those opportunities.
So what can parents do if they find out that their child is drinking?
I think the most important thing is not to yell, scream and shout at them. And if they are intoxicated, don't have the conversation then, because it's just a waste of time. When the psychological dust has settled, it's probably a good idea to talk about how to deal with peer pressure to drink, to find out what happened, get the information, talk about the problems that can occur, develop strategies with your teenager to help them deal with these difficult situations. And peer pressure today is peer pressure on steroids, so it can be very, very tricky for them. I think we need to talk to them about what to do in an emergency situation. One of the things I've discovered talking to my patients over the years is the vast majority can't even tell you how you would tell if a young person was seriously drunk or, intoxicated to the point of poisoning. Many kids don't even have that level of knowledge. They don't know about the recovery position. So I think it's really important to talk to them about what to do in emergency situation, particularly dialing 000, because there seems to be a reticence in that. They think that if they dial 000 in an emergency, the police will come, which is not true. If you call the ambulance will come. So to have that conversation right up front. I also think it's important to agree on consequences. If you break the rules, and you've stipulated very clearly what the consequences are, you've got to follow through. Consistent parenting is crucial. I also think that the reality is some kids are going to get their drinks spiked. I don't think it's as common as the media would have us believe, and I don't think the kids recognise that the most commonly used substance is actually alcohol. So talk about the importance of friends looking out for each other, minding their drinks, not buying drinks from strangers, etc. And discuss the types of drinks they might be offered, particularly those alcopops that taste sweet, have a high alcohol content, but are particularly lethal. So overall, I would want you to make sure they understand that no matter what happens, they can call you at any time if they're in trouble. They've got your number on speed dial. If they're in trouble or they feel unsafe, they can call you. I think it's important that you let them know that you don't approve of binge drinking, and that if they do drink heavily or frequently, then you are going to act and you're going to try and get them some professional help. One of the crucial messages would have to be that every time they get it right, let them know. Give them positive feedback if they tell you a story and they've clearly made some good decisions, because that's going to boost the likelihood of that happening again. And of course, remember that we all made mistakes when we were growing up, and that limit testing and experimentation comes with the territory.
Fantastic, Michael. I think that parents around the world will be thanking for you for those tips. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
For more information about alcohol and the new secondary supply legislation, visit the Teen Drinking Law website at teendrinkinglaw.vic.gov.au. This podcast was developed by the Australian Drug Foundation in partnership with the Victorian Department of Health and Vic Health. The content of this podcast is provided as general information only. It is not intended to be given as advice and should not be relied upon as such. If you are concerned about any issue raised by the podcast, then you should seek your own professional advice.